Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, my goodness, I saw this story. I think it's from the Daily Interlake. The Whitefish City Council is trying to push back against the Border Patrol. You know, there's a great Border Patrol office right there in Whitefish. Here's the headline from the Daily Interlake. Whitefish rethinking its relationship with Border Patrol, officials say. You have got to be kidding me. Who are these nut jobs on the Whitefish City Council? All right, we'll talk about that story a little bit later in the morning here. Plus, KRTV has this headline. Several ICE detainees are being held at the Cascade County Detention Center. I think Sheriff Slaughter might be joining us next hour of the program to talk about that and more. Right now, though, great to have Mike Pallas. Mike is the Tax Policy Director for Americans for Tax Reform. And, of course, one of the things we want to talk about is now that the big, beautiful bill has officially been signed into law by President Trump. Let's talk about some of those details. Mike, thanks for being with us here this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, one of the things that's included, I mentioned a couple of border related stories here. Of course, a big boost for removals, for deportations, and funding of our ICE agents and our Border Patrol. That's a big part of this. A big, beautiful bill.
Absolutely, about $150 billion. Dedicated for protecting our border. The type of resources we've seen starved from Border Patrol and ICE for a long time now. So a lot of folks very happy to have that included.
Yeah, and then, of course, overnight, separate from the big, beautiful bill, the United States Senate, the Republicans held enough votes together, and they passed a $9 billion rescissions package, hopefully the first of more to come.
That's right. That's $9.4 billion, some major wins for conservatives in there, including finally defunding NPR, so we will no longer have state-run, state-funded media paid for by the taxpayer. That's a huge conservative win, long-time goal. And the idea that we shouldn't have Americans paying for far-left NPR, I think, is common sense.
Yeah, I remember about 20 years ago or so when folks would complain about public radio or public TV getting taxpayer funds to prop up their liberal biased programming, they'd say, oh, well, it's just a really, really small part of our budget. But now that it's being cut, they're saying, oh, it's awful. We're going to shut down all across the country. So it's like, I thought it was just a small part of your budget, right?
Yeah, exactly right. I think the reality is that these are massively across the nation programming. I think you're likely to see panic from the left over Republicans making it so taxpayers don't have to fund this, that they'll probably raise so much money just from their progressive audience that they'll make up any revenue loss from taxpayers.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I saw, like, for example, Yellowstone Public Radio is, I think they're going to lose about $270,000. They got a liberal trial lawyer across the street that'll cut that check, and it won't even hurt, right?
I've got the numbers in front of me right now. They have 26 million listeners, over 1,000 stations across the country. The podcast have 17 million downloads. The idea that taxpayers need to be paying for any of this is absurd.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. All right, hold that thought. More to follow with Mike Pallas with Americans for Tax Reform right after this.
It's July 17th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Hope you're feeling lucky today because it's National Lottery Day. Founded by the Massachusetts State Lottery in 2018, the day celebrates the many ways lotteries contribute to state and local programs around the country. Lotteries date back to the 15th century, with one of the oldest dating back to 1441 in Belgium. Early lotteries in the U.S. paid for everything from cannons used in the American Revolution to paving roads up and down the East Coast. And today, lotteries still contribute to the states and communities they serve. Also on this date, in 1861, the Congress authorized the use of paper money. Initially called demand notes, they would be replaced by legal tender notes in 1862, which it still goes by today. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor David Hasselhoff. Born in 1952. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Mike Pallas, Tax Policy Director for Americans for Tax Reform. What are some of the other beautiful things that were included in the One Big Beautiful Bill now officially signed into law? Mike, yeah, it's great to have you on the show, and we've enjoyed having Grover Norquist here on the program several times as well. What are the things that stand out to you, especially for middle-class Americans, for working-class Americans?
Right, and it's so important that we tell the story of this bill and exactly what's in it, because what you're going to hear Democrats complain about is just using the term tax cuts for the wealthy without mentioning any of the specifics of what's in this bill. And as you mentioned, these are middle-class, pro-family, pro-worker tax provisions. So right out of the gate, you have the increased doubled standard deduction all to $2,200 per child now, increased by $200 in this bill. You have the standard deduction increased by $1,500 for married couples and made permanent. And the theme you're going to see in some of these provisions is the permanency. So nothing, all of the Trump tax cuts from 2017 that were set to expire are now permanent in the tax code, giving families, households, and businesses certainty, which is massively more pro-growth. Some of the other stuff we have in here, we have the small business tax deduction. This is Section 199A. If you're a small business owner, I guarantee you know what that means. It drops the effective tax rate for small businesses all the way down to about 13-14%. The number one provision for any pass-through individually owned business in America, which I know Montana has lots of, and that's something Senator Steve Daines led on and made sure was included in the bill, permanency for that. You have some very good pro-growth cost recovery provisions, like expensing, research and development expensing, things that make us more competitive with China, that deliver about half of the growth of the bill entirely. And estimated by the White House Council of Economic Advisors to increase wages by $2,600 alone, just those provisions. You have, of course, some of the president's main campaign promises, including no tax on tips, which people who are can now deduct up to $25,000 of their tipped income. And Americans for Tax Reform, we've already been collecting testimonials of waitresses and bartenders and any tipped worker across the country. People sending us in their testimonials of how important this is for them, but massively pro-worker, something that was probably the president's most famous campaign promise. Addition to that, you have a new tax deduction for seniors up to $6,000. That's above the standard deduction, so on top of that as well. And then you have no taxes on overtime included in this as well. So these are all provisions that it's very difficult if you're a Democrat to explain how you voted against this. Because as you start to read through them, you start to see how this benefits families, households, and workers.
Yeah, I mean, what you just mentioned about seniors in particular, it effectively will do away with taxes on Social Security benefits for the vast majority of senior citizens, which is huge because that's a common complaint we get here in Montana, which is, hey, I've been taxed my entire life on Social Security. Why are they now going to tax me on my Social Security now that I'm retired? It's just, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
And it's common sense, where that's something that 48 states at the state level are already not taxing Social Security benefits. So now to have that at the federal government too, I think that's a common trend we've seen across the country and obviously something the president campaigned on.
Yeah. The other thing that you mentioned, and in fact, I meant to do this yesterday on the show. I need to, you know, here in a few minutes, we're going to have the phone lines open for our listeners to call in once again on the show. And I should say, if there are waiters, waitresses, people who get tipped income, who get tips out there, call into this show and tell us what you think about the no tax on tips. Because, Mike, to your point, you guys are out there collecting testimonials. If the Democrats delivered this win for working waitresses and other working folks, the media would be doing nothing but man on the street interviews sharing their stories. But instead, Americans for Tax Reform and folks like us have to do their jobs for them.
That's exactly right. And that's when you start to see, when you talk to people who are actually affected by this bill, which is almost everyone in this country, where they find out what this bill means for them, increasingly more and more popular. And I think we should highlight some of the smaller provisions in this too. Undoing one of what I thought was one of the worst things for the Biden administration, which they smuggled into what they called a COVID bill, and that was they were going to come after your Venmo and PayPal payments with new IRS reporting requirements. They took it what used to be a $20,000 and 200 transaction threshold, basically to be using your Venmo as a small business. They took that threshold all the way down to $600. So anyone who had $600 in Venmo and PayPal payments was going to have a new, it's going to impact about 30 million people, a new 1099K tax form they were going to get this year, kicking in at this year, of course, the year after Biden leaves the administration. That's fully repealed, gone. Taxpayers don't have to worry about that. And you also have expanded health savings accounts for about 10 million people.
Yeah, the expanded health savings account. Sorry for my delay there. I had my computer turned on some audio. I was trying to pull up here while you were chatting. Fox News had a piece yesterday. Here is the money people in each state could pocket under Trump's big, beautiful bill. And so I was trying to pull up the Montana-specific one. But I know it's thousands of dollars in relief for working-class Montanans as a result of this big, beautiful bill.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think one provision we should definitely highlight that I'm sure a lot of people in Montana will care about. We have finally have permanency for death tax in this bill now. Something anyone who's owning a family farm or a ranch, this is something you have to worry about that expires. You have to do all of your estate planning based around the tax code letting this expire. But you now have permanent death tax relief. The exemption level raised to $30 million for a couple. That's another provision secured by Senator Steve Daines. I think those are a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, huge win for Montana farmers and ranchers and to prevent those family farms and ranches from going under. All right, Mike Pallas, great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump says he's pushing lawmakers in Texas to redraw the state's congressional map ahead of the midterms to create more Republican-friendly districts.
We're going to get another three or four or five in addition. Texas would be the biggest one, and that'll be fine.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the state's legislature could also do a mid-decade redistricting to boost Democrat-held seats. During President Trump's first term, Democrats flipped 40 House seats. He's predicting a better outcome for the GOP next year because of passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill.
It's really just a fantastic bill, and it's about time that we're going to start, and we'll start talking about it. But once we do, I think we're going to have the greatest midterm that you've ever seen.
Democrats are also keen to talk about the One Big Beautiful Bill, arguing Medicaid cuts will kick millions of Americans off the health insurance program. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
What the heck? Let's throw this story in there. It was a story from Cowboy State Daily talking about a new thermal feature, a baby blue thermal feature in Yellowstone National Park. What the heck? Let's throw it in on this show. If anything, it gives me an excuse to play a George Strait song on the radio. Hey, you never know what we're going to talk about on Montana Talks, because this is the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
Hey, this was, this was 3 years ago now. One of my favorite guests that we've had here on Montana Talks join us in studio. You guys will know the name the moment I say it here. Lawrence Reed, the president emeritus of FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education. He was speaking at events here in Montana back in the, I believe it was October of 2022. And so we got a chance to have him here in studio. He was traveling the state talking about the seven principles of sound public policy. But at the time, you know, we had shared the news that he was recently awarded the Grand Cross of the Order of Merit of the Republic of Poland, the highest honor bestowed by Poland upon a foreigner. And of course, past recipients include Ronald Reagan, is one of the recipients of this Grand Cross from the Republic of Poland. But he was awarded that honor because of his extensive work to bring liberty and freedom to Poland. And he shared some incredible stories at the time about being behind enemy lines in communist countries and working with freedom fighters on the ground. It was remarkable to have him on the show then. And then since we got to have him on the show, I've noticed he's had a couple of great write-ups sharing some incredible Montana history. Lawrence Reed, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Aaron. And you've got a great memory.
Well, I went back to my Montana Talks website and because I did a great write up on our previous conversation, but I do remember that story you told about the blinking lights everywhere. Yeah. Was that Poland, right?
Yes, it was. And the lady responsible for that remarkable moment back in the 80s was one of the reasons that Poland gave me the award that it did, because she had become, in her mid-80s, a senior advisor to the president and put my name in the hat.
Yeah, and it was such an incredible story. In fact, I gave a speech at a Beaverhead County Lincoln-Reagan dinner maybe a year later, or maybe later that same year, and I shared part of your story about the blinking lights everywhere. It was an underground radio station, an underground radio show, and they would have to do their radio broadcast in secret and from different locations every single day to avoid communist detection.
Yes, and they did that for about 8 months until the authorities did track them down, arrested both Sophia and her husband, Zbigniew, for running that radio. And they spent several years in prison and were not out of prison all that long when I met them quietly in their apartment 3 years before the big changes that ended communist rule.
Wow. And for those who don't remember, Lawrence Reed is also a board member for the Frontier Institute, a great free market think tank here. You know, our friend Kendall Cotton and Tanner Avery called into the show. That was a nice surprise phone call here the other day. But yeah, you wrote something earlier this year that caught my eye. And it was funny because 2 weeks earlier, I was at a men's Bible study, and one of the guys had shared this story. And so then when I saw you do a column writing about the incredible Montana history of the Gideon Bibles, I had to read it. I had to share it with our listeners as well here. So,
thank you.
Yeah, maybe while we got you, give our listeners a quick summary of what is the incredible Montana history of the Gideon Bibles.
Okay, be happy to. Yeah, probably every one of your listeners has seen and perhaps read at least part of a Gideon Bible in a hotel room somewhere, because since 1908, they have placed billions, 2.5 billion copies of the King James Version, or in some cases just the New Testament part, in hotels and in doctor's offices and military installations and jails and prisons, lots of other places, not only here in America, but elsewhere as well. But it all started in 1908. The first place that the Gideons put their Bibles, 25 of them, in fact, was in the Superior Hotel in Superior, Montana. That hotel no longer exists, but there is apparently a marker there to note that that was where the first Gideon Bibles were placed.
And then the numbers that you shared, now more than 2.5 billion Bibles in over 100 languages all over the world have now been distributed. And I think when you count up the numbers, two Gideon Bibles are placed somewhere today every single second. That works out to be more than $70 million in a year. Last time I was in the Middle East, in Bahrain, they have an evangelical church that is there, and they'll have, I think, a dozen different services in different languages, and you go into the little bookstore there, the little Bible bookstore there, and they have Bibles in probably at least another dozen languages there as well, which was pretty cool to see. The story we wanted to talk with you about today, you did another Montana-specific write-up, and I caught it at westernmt.news, at Western Montana News. They've been featuring a lot of great news and information here over the past couple of weeks. But you wrote a big piece about former U.S. Senator Mike Mansfield, former U.S. Ambassador Mike Mansfield. Mansfield's Stand, How a Montana Statesman Forged Peace. Tell us about this story and kind of what prompted you to write it.
Okay. Yes, I write a monthly column for the Frontier Institute in Helena. They're all under Frontier History on the Frontier Institute website, which is frontierinstitute.org. And this month, I wrote about Mike Mansfield. I have great memories of him, even though we would not have agreed on everything. I always regarded him as a man of honor, integrity, conviction, somebody sort of, you know, in many ways out of the past, because today politics in the Congress, you know, is so partisan and is filled with such rancor. But Mansfield was a man of dignity. He would work with people on the other side of the aisle, Republicans, as well as members of his own party. He was one of, if not the longest serving, maybe now number two, I'm not sure, but one or two longest serving Senate majority leaders in American history. And this month I wrote about his stance on Japanese internment during World War II. After Pearl Harbor, Franklin Roosevelt ordered Japanese Americans, about 120,000 of them, mostly from Southern California, to be interned in camps out of concern that they might harbor affinity for their mother country. And even though they were American citizens, we put them in camps, and Mike Mansfield was always against that, and the Japanese always appreciated that.
And so that's how he's able to build such a strong relationship. Yeah, because President Reagan ended up making former Democrat senator from Montana, Mike Mansfield, the ambassador to Japan. And it's a big part of why Montana has such a close relationship with Japan to this day. In fact, my wife, Jessica, she was, a few years ago now, she was the Montana Cherry Blossom Princess, because they have a cherry blossom festival in D.C. every year. And so she was the cherry blossom princess 1 year, and got to go to the Japanese embassy, got to meet First Lady Laura Bush at the White House, and pretty cool deal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, it points up how bipartisan Mansfield could be and was, because it was Jimmy Carter who first appointed him ambassador to Japan. And, you know, it's typical that when a new administration comes in of a different party, the new president appoints mostly new ambassadors. And Reagan went out of his way to ask Mike Mansfield to continue to serve, and he did for another 8 years. So under two presidents of two different parties, Mike Mansfield was a sterling ambassador from the U.S. to Japan.
Yeah, and it's also a reminder of President Reagan. You can be a strong conservative, but yet still talk with folks from the other side of the aisle. Still, like, you'd have a beer at the end of the day with a Tip O'Neill, for example, and former Montana Republican Senator Conrad Burns. I know, you know, he had a good relationship with Mansfield and with the whole Mansfield team. I remember Mr. Kimmett, who was a longtime chief of staff to Senator Mansfield. I remember him frequently popping into the senator's office when I was just a college kid back in the day there. And so there was that respect. And, you know, even in Montana politics, it's just not that way anymore, which is kind of unfortunately. I mean, some things have become so unhinged these days.
Yeah, and I think that's a sad consequence of the growth in the size and the scope and intrusiveness of government. We see this throughout history, that the bigger government gets, the more rancorous it becomes, because there's so much apparatus of redistribution and dispensing of special privileges and subsidies. Everybody wants to get their hands on it, either to get part of it or to keep it at bay. So I think the answer to a lot of this rancor is to reduce the size of government. So if I may put in a little ideological point there, I think big government and good government just don't go hand in hand.
Oh, I think, no, it's such a great point that you make. I'm glad you made that point because that's exactly right. Now it's because government is getting involved in everything. Well, then, of course, people, you know, the rancor and the tensions have just escalated so greatly. It's partly why we need to push government back down to the local and the state level, which President Trump is delivering on right now. And the Supreme Court, you know, huge victories on that front when it comes to finally reining in the bureaucracy at the Department of Education and much more. Well, Lawrence Reed, always an honor to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, check out his write-ups. Sign up for the Frontier Institute updates. And also, hey, sign up for the Western Montana News newsletter as well. And that's where I found this one at. So, yeah, always a pleasure. Next time you're in Montana, Lawrence, we got to get you back in studio to join us on the show. It's always great to catch up with you. All right, quick break. We've got phone lines open for you starting right now. And then Sheriff Slaughter, I think, is joining us for part of the 9 o'clock hour, if I'm not mistaken. And then we'll get to more of your phone calls in the 9 o'clock hour as well. This
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
We got phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. I'm going to talk about this Whitefish Border Patrol story coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. By the way, speaking of the Border Patrol in Whitefish, Whitefish Station Border Patrol agents just assisted local law enforcement with identifying six illegal aliens. So that just came out, I think, earlier this morning. Thanks to Matt with KJJR for sharing that one with me. Yeah, that one just came out. Six more illegal aliens being processed for removal after being arrested by the Whitefish Station Border Patrol agents. So all the details on that, plus several ICE detainees being held at the Cascade County Detention Center. We should have Sheriff Slaughter with us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Real quick here, this was a Montana News headline that just caught my eye. This one comes from the liberal Montana Free Press. Interesting news report here. So I thought they were already done voting on all the bills and any potential veto overrides, but a veto by Governor Greg Gianforte was just overridden by the Montana legislature. The Montana legislature has voted to override Governor Greg Gianforte's veto of a bill to reimburse local jails for holding inmates waiting for a bed at the state mental hospital. By the July 14th deadline, 67 representatives and 34 senators voted to override the veto of House Bill 643. The override required two-thirds majorities in each chamber, meaning the House vote succeeded by one vote. Bill sponsor, Representative Tracy Sharp, a Republican out of Polson, told the Montana Free Press that the veto reversal was sensible given the bill's bipartisan support. And so when asked for comment Wednesday, the governor's office pointed to the governor's June 12th veto letter. So there you go. Anyway, I guess I could see why the governor would have vetoed the bill because, you know, he doesn't want to spend more state money, right? But then on the other hand, I also think these lawmakers are justified in voting to override the veto because the way they see it is, hey, there are state inmates that are sitting in local jails. So local folks are paying for that and local jails are full across much of the state. So if a state inmate is sitting there waiting, well, the state should pay for it. But again, this is also another reason why we need to expand capacity in our state prisons, for example, and which, of course, the governor is working to address that. The legislature just authorized an expansion of our in-state prison capacity, and I know they're working to fix the state mental health challenges as well at the same time there. So, but yeah, interesting story nonetheless. You know, when there was a Democrat governor in the governor's office, the Democrats would never override a Democrat governor. If they did, boy, it was rare. I don't know. Did they ever override Governor Steve Bullock or Governor Brian Schweitzer? Did the Democrats ever do that? I know they. I don't know if they ever did it successfully, but how many even actually voted to override a Democrat governor? It didn't matter how much it was in the interests of a Democrat legislator. Those guys, I mean, it's party rule. They do whatever dear leader tells them. And so, yeah, one of the most glaring examples was, I'll never forget, what was that meeting? There was a meeting down at the, I think it was down at the Northern Hotel, or was it downstairs at the Doubletree Hotel in Billings? And it was all these economic development people from all across eastern Montana. And you remember it was in the middle of the Bakken boom, so they were rocking the Bakken, and so there were, you know, there was a lot of tax money flowing into Helena from the Bakken area, but Helena Democrats didn't want to send eastern Montana their tax money back to them, because the way Helena Democrats looked at it is like, ah, those guys in eastern Montana, they vote for Republicans, so no infrastructure for you. Now, but the legislature, even on a bipartisan basis, finally voted to deliver infrastructure funding to eastern Montana. And it got vetoed by then Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. And I'll never forget, I was standing there. Man, who all was there? I think the mayor of Billings at the time was standing right there. And you had other legislators standing right there. And, you know, even the more moderate Republicans were chewing into Steve Bullock for vetoing infrastructure funding in eastern Montana. But even though he vetoed it, they had a chance to override his veto, and the Democrats wouldn't do it. Not even some of the Democrats who needed that infrastructure funding in eastern Montana. And then you wonder why Democrats have basically become an endangered species in eastern Montana. All right, let me switch tracks. Earlier this morning, very interesting, I was listening into Fox and Friends, the great Lawrence Jones, Brian Kilmeade, and crew, and they were talking about the Kami Mamdani. You know, we were talking with Lawrence Reed about, you know, how he helped freedom fighters in these communist countries, you know, fight for freedom from communism. And now the commies, like Mamdani, are poised to take over American cities like New York City. So the Kami Mamdani showed up on Capitol Hill to have breakfast with congressional Democrats yesterday. How did the whole D.C. visit go? Let's check in with our friends from Fox News Radio.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez organized the reception for Zohran Mamdani, both mostly progressive Democrats, though there were some moderates there too. Some Democrats have refused to back Mamdani, given his far-left policies and refusal to condemn the phrase "globalize the intifada." Democrats say the controversy over the anti-Semitic phrase never came up, that the breakfast was more of a political strategy session. House Democratic leader and fellow New Yorker Hakeem Jeffries is withholding his endorsement. He says he needs to meet Mamdani first. The left wing of the party celebrated the visit. Senator Bernie Sanders says he's deeply impressed by Mamdani's campaign.
Now, the other thing that they had on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, a couple of things stood out to me that were very interesting. One is there were Fox News reporters and other reporters that wanted to catch up with Mamdani and interview him, ask him some questions. The Democrats snuck Mamdani out the back door to hide him from reporter questions. That was pretty interesting, pretty telling there. Second thing, by the way, I think I just saw a news alert that Mayor Eric Adams, was it Adams or was it Cuomo? Anyway, I think it's Mayor Adams. I think Mayor Adams outraised this Mamdani character. So he is raising more money than Mamdani. Anyway, but the other thing that was interesting was New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Sounds like good job by her. She called out Mamdani for refusing to condemn these globalize the intifada chants. And she also says she will block his tax plan. You know, he wants to, you know, raise taxes astronomically on, you know, rich New Yorkers, which a lot of people have already fled New York. And she knows that this will absolutely kill New York City and the finance district in particular if this guy is elected. So she says she will block his tax plan. But, you know, just when I was ready to say, hey, good job by Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, Elise Stefanik, the Republican congresswoman from upstate New York, she says, oh, no, make no mistake. Kathy Hochul is weak.
Mamdani tapped into something that is real and visceral. We have a lot of common interests. We've talked and I've seen him reinforce on his social media my efforts on affordability.
I call myself a democratic socialist.
Do you like capitalism?
No, I have many critiques of capitalism.
Elect a socialist, get a communist. It's the last stage before communism.
And that's why I have said I'm going to freeze the rent for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants.
My point is, Bill de Blasio, he did freeze the rent 3 times himself. It's not something brand new and radical to do that.
There's been a significant uptick in anti-Semitic rhetoric and hate crimes. It's very scary to be a Jewish American right now.
Do you condemn that phrase, globalize the intifada?
I don't believe that the role of the mayor is to police speech.
And it's a result of policies from New York Democrats, a party that Kathy Hochul leads.
This is Kathy Hochul's New York.
All right, check it out, x.com/Aaron Flint. I think I gave that one a repost earlier this morning from Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Phone lines are open for you. We've got a quick few minutes here as we round out the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, plenty of time to take your phone calls as well. And I think we got Sheriff Slaughter joining us out of Cascade County. Always great to catch up with Sheriff Slaughter. All right, let's see. Go to MontanaTalks.com. We've got a Montana News Roundup. There's some grisly news in there. Plus, speaking of all the grisly news, another story on that on the Montana Talks website.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And what is Mamdani doing? He's meeting in private with... supposedly with New York businessmen. He's not meeting with New York businessmen because they decided not to show up. They don't want anything to do with him. In other words, he has this two-day meeting with so-called business leaders. The vast majority of them didn't bother to show up. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan, he didn't show up. Steve Schwarzman of Blackstone, he didn't show up. Ryan Moynihan of the Bank of America, the nation's second largest bank, he didn't show up. Larry Fink of BlackRock, he didn't show up. David Solomon of Goldman Sachs, he didn't show up. Oh, scheduling conflict.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, do you guys remember the song Aerosmith, the Aerosmith song back in the 90s, Janie's Got a Gun? Well, that's the song that came to mind. Caden, it might be on your mom's playlist. I don't know. If you don't know who Aerosmith is, check your mom's playlist. She might have it on on her her Spotify playlist or something like that. But yeah, that was the song that came to mind. Don't worry, I'm not going to try singing it for you. But, you know, if the great Rush Limbaugh were still around, you know he would have a song ready to go. You know his team would have a parody song already to go on this one. So Gavin Newsom, California Governor Gavin Newsom, you know, he did the Sean Ryan Show podcast. And we played one of the clips earlier this week where Sean Ryan was asking him, yeah, but should 8-year-old kids get their body parts chopped off for this transgender surgery stuff? And Gavin did the whole fingers waving, the hands waving, the, well, I understand. He sounded like the world's worst HR director, you know, as he was trying to wiggle his way out of it. And oh, I hear you. You've been heard. And he never answered the question. Well, this was funny. KC is one of our contributors. He's one of our writers out of Missoula. And so here's the headline on KC's story that I just posted at MontanaTalks.com. Gavin Newsom just got his first gun. Seriously. So at one point in the show, Sean Ryan hands a Sig Sauer P365X Macro to Gavin Newsom, and apparently he gifted him the gun. And anyway, KC wrote this. He says, it's like watching a vegan tear into a piece of brisket. A little awkward at first, but actually kind of amusing. So yeah, Gavin's got a gun. Gavin's got a gun. The whole world's come undone. Gavin's got a gun. Homeboys on the run. But, yeah, I told you that. I'm not going to sing it for you. But if Rush Limbaugh, the great one, were still around, you know his team would have a good parody song to go with this one. Yeah, Gavin's got a gun. What would Ryan Bussey say about that one? His homeboy's got a gun. I mean, Ryan Bussey, the Democrats' favorite candidate for political office, you know, was getting paid $150 an hour to testify in support of California's gun confiscation and gun ban. And now Gavin's got a gun? The whole world's come undone. For Fussy Bussy. All right, I'll tell you what. Speaking of music, you know, I did a story for our Montana Talks website about Kojo, Cody Johnson. Don't you guys just love Cody Johnson's country music? So I did a story about how Flint Rasmussen, the legendary Flint Rasmussen, the rodeo entertainment great Flint Rasmussen, he did a post on social media a couple weeks ago now, I think it was, and he talked about when he first spotted Cody Johnson. They booked him for a show as part of one of their events. And of course, now look at Cody Johnson. And so anyway, it was a great post by Flint Rasmussen. So I shared that on our Montana Talks website. And, you know, and in the story, I talk about, man, here's the Cody Johnson songs that I play on my playlist when I'm out on my pontoon boat. I'll tell you what, man, just picture yourself driving your pontoon boat through some canyon somewhere. Or out on some lake somewhere, and you got your favorite Cody Johnson song playing. You know, like Wild As You. When you're out in the middle of nowhere, Montana, on the water, and Wild As You is playing, it's incredible. I know what you're thinking. Aaron, I don't have a pontoon. Well, go down, see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got locations in Billings, Butte, and Missoula. Largest inventory in a 5-state region. Family-owned. Great guys. I just talked with Dustin and his brother Brandon the other day. So you can check them out at their Billings, Butte, or Bozeman locations, or go to brettsrv.com.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at smokeybear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forest store, and the Ad Council.